The day continued to drizzle, so she ambled the burgundy corridors, peeking into open doors. The house was perfect. It even carried the old, clean smell of a museum. Her heart pounded a bit, and she felt as if she had sneaked away from a tour guide. She walked a long gallery with north-facing windows and matched gazes with the portraits. Men and women in stiff costumes, old jewelry, their backgrounds faded countryside, their eyes imperious. They were marvelous. She wondered if those rich people had naturally looked on the world with such assurance of their own nobility, or if the painter had created it for them. An itch inside her made her want to give it a try. But she scratched the desire away. She hadn't picked up a paintbrush since college. She ran out of upstairs, so down she went, only to be stopped fast by voices coming from a sitting room. Jane wasn't ready to face real people yet, not as Miss Erstwhile. The portraits had been intimidating enough. Footsteps scared her out of the hall and into an open doorway. It was a large, square, empty room, wooden floors, no furniture. The grand hall, the place where balls happen. The walls were an impatient green. The crystals on the chandeliers winked in the window light. If she were the type of person who looked for signs, Jane would have thought the room was shivering in anticipation of something momentous. But she wasn't. She turned to leave, and from the far door saw the dark outline of a man enter. He stopped. She stopped. She couldn't see his face. "Pardon," he said, and turned back. She stood staring at where he'd been for a few moments, relieved at first that she hadn't been forced to make conversation yet, then soon actually sorry that he'd gone. Just his presence had set her heart to pounding, and the feeling prickled in her a delightful expectation of things to come. Goody, she thought. As she ascended the main staircase on the way back to her room, she bumped into a woman bending over her own boots, the curve in her back declaring that she wasn't wearing a corset. "Dratted drawers," said the woman, straightening. She was unnaturally buxom, in her 50s, and sported short, bleached hair, heavily sprayed, and an attached fake bun of a slightly different shade. Her eyes widened when she saw Jane, and her surgery-tightened skin stretched to admit a wide smile.
"Well, hello! You're new, aren't you? My name's Miss Elizabeth Charming. Like Elizabeth Bennet, see? But don't you like the last name? It was Mrs. Wattlesbrook's idea. I thought I'd just go ahead and name myself Elizabeth Bennet because I mean to bag myself a Mr. Darcy, but she thought Elizabeth Charming was more enchanting. Anywho, my friends call me Eliza."
She stuck out her left hand, the ring finger of which still bore the mark of a recently removed wedding band. Jane shook it awkwardly with her right hand, then bobbed a curtsy. "Hello. I suppose I'm Jane Erstwhile."
"You're one of those Americans."
Jane frowned, confused. Clearly, this woman was also from the United States, possibly from a southern state. The accent was unclear. Then Jane realized that she was attempting to sound British, overpronouncing words and occasionally dropping an R. The effect made her sound like a little girl in desperate need of a speech therapist.
"Oh, dear,"
Eliza said miserably.
"I don't think I'm supposed to talk to you until we've been properly introduced. Let's pretend we haven't met."
Eliza started back down the stairs, stuffing one breast more snugly into her dress, then turned back again to speak low and urgently into Jane's ear.
"And by the way, I'm 22. I told Mrs. Wattlesbrook, and now I'm telling you. I didn't forgo a new car and a month in Florence to be 50 again."
She patted Jane's behind and trudged down the stairs, holding her long skirts above her ankles.